in John 8. I'm going to read this evening from verse 31 to verse 36. And we're going to focus on 33 to 36. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you just to follow along. Starting at verse 31, John 8. And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Amen. Well, just before we get going tonight, look into this portion, this half of John 8, maybe a recap looking back at this morning would be helpful. You know, this morning I began by asking the question, who is a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Jesus himself puts it this way. He says in verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And we saw that the idea of word there is the idea of all that Christ has done. It's a teaching about all that Christ has done for us. His saving work, that's his word, and we are to abide in that. In other words, as John Calvin said, we're to abide in the gospel. We're to keep the gospel central in our thinking and in our lives, and never to depart from that, not for a moment. We saw some of the implications of living that way and how incredibly freeing it is. Jesus himself said, "You will know the truth about the gospel in an ever expansive way, and the result will be that you will live lives of freedom." And that's what Christ is saying there. Of course, though, we're told that the men who were staying there, these Jews, said to him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How could you say we will be made free?" And there's a picture of total blindness. And Jesus has just finished describing to them that if a man dies in his sins, that he will go to hell. It's not a good picture. It's not a pretty thing. And he's just finished talking to them about being set free from that. But they don't see that. They're blind to it. And that's the reality of us, friends. When we come to this world, we are utterly blind. We cannot see the truth. And tonight, we're going to look at the truth, though. We're going to see how it is that we can make sure that we are not living in bondage to sin, but living lives that are truly free in Jesus Christ. And friends, I don't know if there's anything more important than what we're looking at this evening. Because the stakes are so great, eternities are weighed in the balance on this issue. We don't want to live in bondage to sin. We don't want to be facing an eternity without God. We want to know what it is to be free and live that way in Jesus Christ. And so tonight I'm simply going to preach with two headings. The first is this: we need Jesus to open our eyes to see the reality of our bondage to sin. We need Jesus to open our eyes to see the reality of our bondage to sin. You know, we are blind, and these men are just an incredible case in point, a point in case. Jesus just finished saying to them that they are needing to be freed, and they answer the question, and we'll look at Jesus, "How can you say we will be made free? We've never been in bondage to anybody," which is really a remarkable statement. Even from a historic point of view, if you think back upon it, when wasn't Israel in bondage to somebody? I mean, did they forget about the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Romans? Right now, there was a Roman garrison looking down over the temple in Jerusalem in which they were standing. It's amazing that they would actually think to themselves, say, "We've never been in bondage to anybody." It's blindness. But what's even more blind about this is this, that Jesus had just finished speaking to them about their need to be freed, and all they can think about is political bondage. They don't get it. They can't see it. They are totally and utterly spiritually blind. They didn't understand that Christ was speaking to them. They're blind. But you know what? This is just the reality of those who are blind and who are in bondage. They can never see it, right? Christ says, you need to be freed. And they say, what do we need to be freed from? We've never been in bondage to anybody. And that is just the reality of bondage. The people who are in bondage don't see their bondage. They're blind to it. Do you believe that this evening? Look it. You talk with the average unbeliever. You sit down. You open to the Ten Commandments. And you say, listen, which of these do you think you've broken? And you say, well, I might have broken this one and possibly that one, maybe. But, you know, for the most part, I've done all right. I'm basically a good person. We hear that, right? I'm basically a good person. Now, the unbeliever does not understand how incredibly wicked he is. He doesn't get how much his sin has offended God, nor how much sin he has in his life. He doesn't believe that he is radically depraved and deserving of God's infinite wrath, deserving of a life in hell. He doesn't see it. He's completely blind. There's a veil over his eyes. He doesn't get it. And maybe tonight, some of you are like that. And you don't see the bondage that you're in to sin. And I remember when I was a young guy, a teenager, and I sat in churches like this, and I heard the preacher go on and talk about sin, and it just missed me. It was lost on me. And I didn't see it. I mean, I didn't grasp it. I had no desire for Jesus Christ. I had no desire to hear about my sin. I didn't believe I was that bad. I didn't believe I was a hell-deserving sinner. Didn't see it. Like the guy I talked to not long ago, we were talking about him today. I sat down with him. I said, do you believe you're a sinner? He actually admitted, yes, I believe that. I said, you deserve to go to hell? He says, no way. No way. And maybe it's not you're here and you are in such bondage to your sin that you can't even see how bad your situation is. You can't even see that if right now, if tonight, if today, God were to take you or take you any day in the state where you are, that you would spend eternity in hell, enduring the full, unmitigated, relentless wrath of God. You can't see that. You don't believe that things are so bad for you. And otherwise, if you did, you would surely turn away from your sin and you would throw up your hands in despair and say, Jesus, I need you to save me. You would do that. But the bondage is so great and your eyes are so closed, you cannot see it. And that's the reality of bondage. That's how severe it is. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 that you can't understand just how bad it is because you're not a spiritual person. You're dead spiritually. And you have no spiritual pulse. And what you need is for God to break into your life and show you the extent of your sin and the consequences of your sin. The wages of sin is death, the Word of God says. And I believe God wants you to hear that tonight. If you're there, if you're in bondage, if you're not getting how great your sin is against God, if you're just living your life however you please, you need to understand this, that you cannot toy with the living God. You can't live, you were never designed to live your life however you please. You were made, you have a creator, you're accountable to him, he has a claim on your life. God calls everyone, everywhere to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. And if you can't see that tonight, then let me pray for you. And let me just keep on preaching to you, that you might come to your senses and escape the snare of the devil who's keeping you in bondage tonight. And hear the word of Jesus Christ and invites you to come to Him and to put off that bondage. You know, oh Jesus, would you open the eyes, please? Would you open the eyes of those who are here tonight and who are in bondage, who just are slow to believe and don't care, where the veil is so thick and the walls are so wide they just can't see. Father, would you do that, I pray? Would you do that? You know, Jesus is so gracious to these men. I wouldn't have half the patience. Half. You know, these men are blind, but He takes time with them. And He says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If that was me, I probably would have said, you know, did you forget your history? Did you forget about the Egyptian? He isn't mentioning any of that stuff. This is Jesus. He goes right to the point. Whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. That doesn't mean if you commit a sin that you're a slave of sin. He's saying that anyone who commits sin in general, who never stops sinning, who loves sin, where there's no repentance, where there's no interruption, He's saying this person is a slave of sin. And nobody who sins, the Word of God says, 1 John, can be a Christian, a believer. You just cannot be a believer. You can't be born again and remain in sin. It's impossible. You can't live your life recklessly with no regard for God's holiness. You can't keep on doing this and not be broken up about your sin. You can't do that. God says, His Word says, that nobody who's been born again continues to sin. If you're sinning, you've got to ask some serious questions about your walk with God. You've got to know that tonight. Anyone who sins, Jesus says, is a slave of sin. You know, it's as though some alien power has come upon you and dominated you and captured you, and you can do nothing but obey this new master. And that's what it's like for you. You are a slave by nature, the Word of God says. A slave. And it's worse, actually, than that, because as he goes on to say, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. In other words, a slave and a son may look the same for a long time, but guess what? The slave does not have a right to the inheritance. In fact, the master can say to the slave, hey, listen, thanks a lot for your help. See you later. But not to the son. The danger is that if you're a slave to sin tonight, if you just don't care about God's holiness, if you just don't care about living a life of righteousness, if that doesn't matter to you, if you just want to sin and you're a slave to it, then guess what? It's this horrible news. You're going to be asked to leave. God will say to you on the last day, depart from me. I never knew you. Even if you experience fellowship here in the church, if you're part of the church, if you look like a Christian, God says this in His Word, the day will come when He'll say, depart from me, and He'll separate you from the true people of God. Because a slave does not remain in the house forever. And you know what? You've got to hear this tonight. You know, you've got to hear this. And I would be no friend to you if I were to say to you, hey, guess what? Everything's great and God loves you and has got a great plan for your life. Hey, listen, if you're in bondage to sin tonight, if you're living for yourself and for the devil, then you've got to hear this tonight. You've got to repent of your sin and turn in faith to Jesus Christ for your salvation, or you will be cooked and damned forever in hell. And you've got to be busy with your God tonight, friends. I have not come here to play games with you. I've come here to lay it on the line, because I know that your eternity weighs in the balance tonight. Do you hear me? I'm your best friend tonight. I'm your best friend. And may Christ be a better friend to you than me, as He calls you to Himself and you know and taste His salvation. Amen. We need our eyes open, friends, to the bondage of our sin. And Jesus Christ can do that. And praise God, He takes time with sinners like this and helps them to show that they are in bondage, and then points them to Himself, which is what He does. in these wonderful last words of Psalm, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. You know, the great news is this, that even though you may be a slave to sin tonight, and even though, apart from Jesus Christ, you may be looking at hell, the fact is that Jesus Christ saves sinners. And that's great news. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to walk alone in this world. You don't have to be a slave to sin and ruin your life and ruin other people's lives. You have to do that, God's Word says. He says, if the Son sets you free, you can be free indeed. All the sin you've committed, it can be pardoned. It can be forgiven in a second. Imagine that. A whole life of sin, forgotten, erased, annulled in a twinkling of an eye. Isn't that amazing? But get this, it doesn't come cheaply. For that to happen, Christ had to bear that sin on the cross at Calvary. Grace is not cheap, friends. The fact is that Christ has paid that penalty, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord in faith, for it says, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. And God deals with you through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His punishment can become your salvation tonight. It's amazing. The Son sets you free. You are free indeed. Amazing. Free from a life of enslavement to sin. Free from God's condemnation. Free. And I mean really free. Free to live. If you're a slave to sin tonight, you're not living. You may think you're living. You may enjoy a few of the world's pleasures, but I'll tell you tonight, you are not living until the Son has set you free. You know, just think about the world this morning that woke up with their head pounding, their faces stuck in the toilet, barfing their guts out after a night of just binging. You know, I saw them just walking out of the beer store and the liquor store on Saturday night with all of their hopes in a bottle. And this morning, lying sick as a dog, not up till 1 o'clock. Is that life? Is that life? Think of the lives that were ruined last night. The hearts that were broken. The idiotic things, the hurtful, cruel words that were spoken. And the emptiness that people woke up to. The women whose lives were devalued and degraded. Is that life? Is that life? That's nothing. That's meaninglessness. What bondage. Walking out of the liquor store with those 40 pounders in hand. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to live it up. And where are they this morning? Where are they now? Is that, that's not life. Christ brings life. Christ brings freedom. Christ brings people to God. People to God to live. And you can be that person tonight. And so come on. Stop living in death, to start living in Christ and truly living and living free. And if you've come to Christ and you're in Christ this evening, then you need to understand that what Christ says here, He says to you. When He says, and therefore if the Son sets you free, you are free. Indeed, you are free. Now, it doesn't matter what you think about that tonight. The fact of the matter is that the Son of God says you are free. Therefore, you are free indeed. And I want to help you for a few minutes to live free in Christ. I want to help you tonight to understand what exactly this means in terms of your daily walk with the Lord and the temptations you face and how to live as though you are free when you really are free. Amen. I want to look at that for a few minutes, a few brief minutes now. Because if you're anything like me, then you know how easy it is to think so often that I'm not really free in Jesus Christ. And I want to explode that myth with you. And I want to see just for a few minutes how it is that we can live free in Jesus Christ. What do you do when temptation comes knocking at the door? I'm talking about the kind that is so strong that you feel like you've got to listen to it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I want to give you six steps here. Six steps that will help you live free in Christ. And just track along with me for a few more minutes. And the first of these is this. Reject the lies that temptation speaks to you. Reject the lies that temptation speaks to you. When we are tempted to sin, when we are tempted to live in bondage, what we often hear from temptation is this. You have got to do this. You have no recourse but to do this, right? Do you hear that voice? I've got to do it. And I, if I don't do it, I don't know what will happen. Life will be terrible. I have no power over this. I am totally enslaved to do this. I've got to do it. I cannot but do this. We hear that lie, and that is a lie. And you need to learn to reject that lie. And this lie as well, that you can do this on your own, that you can muster up enough strength and you can battle your way through this temptation and everything's going to be okay. That's not true. And those who try and do that end up flat on their faces in moral defeat. Don't we know that? We do. So we have to learn to reject the lies that temptation speaks to us. And then secondly, remember that you have died to sin. Turn your Bibles to Romans 6 for a minute. Romans 6. Because here Paul's talking about the sanctification of the believer and the power that we have over sin in our lives. And he's been talking about our union with Jesus Christ. And here he says, if you look down in your Bibles at verse 6, he says these words, knowing that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Hey, the great truth is this, that when Jesus Christ was crucified, and the moment you put your faith in him, your enslavement to sin stopped. Okay? Done away with. Does that mean you can't sin? No. Does it mean you can never be tempted? No. It means this. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are no longer a slave to any single sin. Period. And you've got to remember that. When you're tempted to sin, and when your sin says you have to do this, you can say, nah. I remember what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this, that Jesus Christ has crucified my old man, and I'm no longer a slave to sin. That's what God says. That's true. Remember that you have died to sin. The power of sin has been broken in your lives. And then number 3, verse 11 says this, that you are to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Which means this, that when sin comes its way, when temptation yields its face, you are to say, well, hold on for a second here. I don't care what you say to me. I am counting myself. I am reckoning myself to be dead to sin. And I don't believe that I have to do this sin. I'm agreeing with God that Jesus Christ died and broken the power of sin in my life. I am reckoning myself dead to sin. I like what James McDonald says. James McDonald, Walking the Word guy. And he says, whenever you see temptation coming your way, you say to it, I am dead to that. I am dead to that. You know, when that temptation comes that you so often give into and you want to do, you say, I am dead to that. I am dead to that. That's what it means to count, to reckon yourself dead to sin. You don't have to do it. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what the temptation says. The reality is, I don't have to do that. I'm dead to sin. Jesus Christ has crucified my old nature. I am no longer a slave to sin. And so we're remembering. We're rejecting, and we're remembering, and we're reckoning, and we are relying, number 4, on His grace. That's right. It's no good to simply just sort of bolster through this. That's wrong. That's not the gospel. The gospel is you can't do this. You need the grace of God to do that. Where do you get the grace? Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where do you go when you're being tempted? Where do you go? You go where? Come on, where do you go? You go to the throne of grace. That's right. You go to the throne of grace. Yes, the word of God, but the throne of grace. Hebrews 4, that's right. And it's so important. You say, well, you know, gee, I know this. I mean, I've been told this so many times. Well, let me ask you this. Are you doing it perfectly? Hands up if you're doing it perfectly tonight. Okay, you're not. Okay, well, I'm going to keep on preaching it then, okay? That's why I'm keep on preaching this. Okay, so we've got to rely on the grace of God, right? Okay, so we are rejecting the temptations, the lies of temptation. We are remembering everything that Christ has done for us. We are reckoning, that is, we are accounting ourselves to be dead to sin. And four, we are relying on grace. Number five, and this is before we even got past the temptation, we are rejoicing in the victory that God's going to bring. Rejoicing, right? Yeah. Romans 7, verse 24. And here Paul is just moaning and complaining about his struggle in sanctification and not overcoming sin. And he gets to verse 24 and 25. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And the answer 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so there he is rejoicing, even before he's overcome the sin. And it's great. You know, if you want to break sin in your life, if you want to overcome it, here's the way you do it. You rejoice in the face of temptation. Father, I thank you so much for the grace that you're going to give me, that you have given me to overcome this thing. And I'm just so thankful for my ability to do that you've given to me. Thank you so much for that. You know, that kind of worship inspires faith. I believe it. Do you? Rejoicing. And then lastly, rendering yourselves obedient to God. Chapter 6 of Romans 13 and 14. Romans 6, 13 and 14. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Why? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're no longer under law, but grace. Okay? So here we go. We are rejecting the lies the temptation speaks to us. We're remembering that you don't have to sin because you're no longer a slave to sin. We're reckoning ourselves dead to sin. We are relying on His grace. We're rejoicing in His future deliverance. And number six, and lastly, we are rendering ourselves obedient to God. And this is the way that you live free in Jesus Christ. Believers, this is how you live free in Jesus Christ. You want to know how to face temptation? I think particularly the kind that you often give into, that you struggle with. Okay, let's go over these again. Let's work through these. Let's embed these in your mind. Let's just cement them in your souls. What are you doing when you face temptation, number one? I want this nice and loud. Come on. What are you doing, number one?
Reject the lie.
The temptation speaks. Two.
Remember what Christ has done,
right? You are dead to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Number three. Reckoning yourself dead to sin. Number four, you are relying on His grace. Number five, you are rejoicing in future deliverance. That's right. And number six, you are rendering yourselves obedient to God. And this is how we live free in Jesus Christ. And tonight, friends, you've got to get this, that the Son has set you free, that you are free, no matter what temptation says to you. You are free in Christ. Christ said, if the Son has set you free, then you are free, truly free, entirely free, indeed. Amen. Believe it. Father in heaven, I pray you will help your people to believe it tonight. And we thank you so much for Jesus Christ and for His freedom
that He brings to us. God, give us freedom, we pray. Give us freedom, we ask. Help us to live free and not as slaves. Help those, Father, who are living like slaves tonight. Help them who have never yet trusted Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, let them trust tonight and be set free. Set the prisoners free, we pray. And free each one of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.